Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 13th of January, the 13th day of 2025. We will travel for 352 days before reaching 2026. New year, writes novelist Alice Walker, same old algorithm in love with its own echo, looping back to whisper us awake or deeper into slumber. This past week, I've been working outside on my girlfriends and my house, turning dream to reality. The garage workshop is snug and warm when I feed the efficient little wood stove we call Millie Morso, an appliance I visit every half hour or so when the temperature outdoors with the wind chill nears the Fahrenheit goose egg. To counter the possibility of complacency at the beginning of a new year, Alice Walker turns to poetry, which she defines as the lifeblood of rebellion, revolution, and the raising of consciousness. The winds in excess of 25 knots push through the branches of the hemlock and the pine that hold our esker together, and the upper trunks of all our trees, including the oaks and birches and cedars and ashes, sway, creak, and collectively dance in the higher gusts. I'm reminded of National Book Award-winning poet Lucille Clifton, who grew up in western New York, weathering many a lake-effect blizzard and unavoidably developing a winter sensibility, which she would augment with her teaching experiences in Maryland's St. Mary's River region, reflecting on its related ocean phenomena, as in her poem Blessing the Boats. At St. Mary's, may the tide that is entering even now the lip of our understanding carry you out beyond the face of fear. May you kiss the wind, then turn from it, certain that it will love your back. May you open your eyes to water, water waving forever, and may you, in your innocence, sail through this to that. At the end of last week in Washington, D.C., a considerable gathering of our political elders and their progeny eulogized recently passed former President Jimmy Carter, whom many hold to have been one of our country's best presidents, based on his respect for humanity. Many of us who followed his activities for the past half century found him to be the real deal as a human being. Rest in peace, Jimmy. Heavenward, tonight we have January's full wolf moon, also known variously as the Canada Goose moon, the center moon, the cold moon, the frost exploding moon, the freeze up moon, the hard moon, the severe moon, the great moon, and the spirit moon. Appearing quite near our moon will also be the red planet Mars and the constellation Gemini's twin stars Castor and Pollux. Today in 1610, astronomer Galileo Galilei discovered Callisto, Jupiter's second largest moon and the third largest moon in our solar system. Today in 1695, satirist Jonathan Swift was ordained as an Anglican priest in Ireland. Today in 1882, composer Richard Wagner completed his final opera, Parsifal. Today in 1895, Oscar Wilde's play, An Ideal Husband, premiered at the Haymarket Theatre in London. Today in 1908, Henri Farman became the first person to fly an observed circuit of 1 kilometer, winning the Grand Prix d'Aviation. Today in 1930, the Mickey Mouse comic strip first appeared. Today in 1948, the first country music TV show, Midwestern Hayride, premiered on WLWT in Cincinnati, Ohio. Today in 1968, the show Johnny Cash performed for inmates at Folsom State Prison is recorded live and released as an album that becomes number one on the country music charts. And today in 1976, Sarah Caldwell became the first woman to conduct at New York City's Metropolitan Opera House, leading the performance of La Traviata. Today in 1886 in Russia, Sofia Kalish was born to Jenny Kalish, a Russian Jew who was on her way to Boston to join her husband, Charles Kalish, who had adopted the surname Abusa before immigrating to avoid repercussions from having deserted the Russian Imperial Army. Charles and Jenny would raise Sophia and her three siblings in Hartford, Connecticut, where the family ran a kosher restaurant frequented by theater actors. Although Sophia dutifully helped in the restaurant, she hated the work. Instead, she preferred playing piano for and singing along with her sister in amateur vaudeville contests, where after a while she would hear calls for the fat girl, as she already weighed 145 pounds at age 13. Sophia recalls, "Then I would jump up from the piano stool, forgetting all about my size, and work to get all the laughs I could." Sophia was sold on entertaining, but did not immediately enter the profession full time. At age 17, she married Louis Tuck, who drove a beer wagon. They made a son, Bert, but Louis couldn't support the family, so Sophia left him, settled their son with her parents, changed her name to Sophie Tucker, and went to New York to break into show business by entering amateur contests. She now weighed 165 pounds, and show managers insisted she hide herself behind blackface makeup. She went over well as a blackface singer in a burlesque show, though hating the makeup, which she couldn't escape until, one day by chance, she lost her kit. Sophie appeared without makeup, and the audience loved her. By 1909, she had won a place in Ziegfeld's Follies and became the last of the Red Hot Mamas, spending the next 60 years performing around the world using her signature song, Some of These Days, composed by African-American Shelton Brooks. Sophie Tucker would occasionally remind people, "I have been poor and I have been rich. Rich is better." Today is also the birthday in 1334 of King Henry II of Castile and León, in 1381 of French abbess and reformer Sainte Colette of Corbie, in 1562 of Scottish poet Mark Alexander Boyd, in 1596 of Dutch landscape painter Jan van Goyen, in 1832 of American writer Horatio Alger, in 1916 of American modern dance and choreographer Bela Lugosi, in 1919 of American actor Robert Stack, in 1925 of American actress Gwen Verdon, and of American actress Rosemary Murphy, in 1930 of American country music singer-songwriter Liz Anderson, in 1931 of American comedian Rip Taylor, in 1944 of American Olympic swimmer Christina von Salza, in 1947 of British sound engineer and record producer Chris Thomas, and of American rock guitarist Drew Abbott, in 1955 of American drummer Fred White and of American South African rock guitarist Trevor Robin, in 1956 of British rock bassist Malcolm Foster, in 1957 of American writer Laurie Moore, in 1960 of American actor Kevin Anderson, 1961 of American actress and comedian Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and in 1962 of American country singer Trace Adkins, in 1964 of American actress Penelope Ann Miller, and in 1968 of American actor from Maine, Patrick Dempsey. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Here's to the fourth week of winter and to the third week of 2025.